Pacifico, Bill Hendry.
Hold on, stand by. Stand by. All right.
I will resign.
Yeah.
It's my hope.
Yeah.
There was no firefight. There was no IED that
killed
you.
Treating the trials of these terrorists and kind of as, gosh, they're on a crime spree right now.
I call him my miracle baby. He almost didn't make it into this world. I can remember so many times when I almost lost him.
Crotch grass.
Oh, boy. World famous Phil Hendry show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. The world waits. Now, this is the only news, talk, and entertainment show really that knows what it's talking about. This is the show where truth is our bitch, and on this show, we take you through the looking glass. We take you behind behind the scenes, into the news, into the issues. In other words, really what we are is we turn talk radio on its head on this show, and we shake it, and all the crap, all the hand buzzers, and all of it just comes pouring right out, right? We are the talk show that other talk show hosts listen to. We're the talk show that other television hosts listen to. We are the talk show that all the media people listen to, believe it or not. As a matter of fact, I'm going to be keynoting the NAB, the National Association of Broadcasters.
That's very significant.
Very significant. And I'm going to walk out there blind, stinking, drunk.
Yeah.
And I can do that.
Why would you do that?
Because I just want to do it. Because they respect me. And they'll say, well, it's Mr. Hendry. He can walk out blind, stinking drunk at 8 a.m.
That's a lot of influence.
Yes, it is. No, I just kid. Well, maybe not. I don't know. We'll see how my life's going at that point. Anyway, 877, I'm kidding around. My life is, it couldn't be better. Of course, I just glanced up and I saw Rachel Maddow, so it just got worse. No, Rachel, you're okay, but I just wish for once in your life, just once, you'd quit doing all those twists and flips and trying to fit yourself into a progressive point of view. You do the twists and flips with the progressive thing the way O'Reilly does with the conservative thing. I think the two of you guys were meant for each other. I know it sounds weird, but I think you and O'Reilly, Rachel, happily ever after. And I'd like to give Bill away as you march down the aisle in your tux. All right, 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Sarah Palin taking all kinds of heat for scrawling notes on her hand. Now, we have told you in the past that there is not necessarily a problem in this country politically with people being liars. There's not necessarily a problem in this country with people being criminal or with people being hypocrites or with people. No, we have a basic stupidity problem. I'll give an example. Palin, and I think very accurately so, Sarah Palin represents an attitude, a mindset. She's not really an issue person. And I don't think I'm speaking out of school. I think people that admire her would tell you that, like Ronald Reagan, she was an agenda. She is an agenda setter the way Reagan. Well, I'm not saying that she is Ronald Reagan, but I'm saying that she takes after him from the standpoint that there's just a sort of a mindset, an agenda of, not even agenda, because that bespeaks specifics, an attitude, a political philosophy, a direction. Having to do with direction. That's what she does. So don't pin her down on a specific. She's not good. Although I will tell you, when she has preparation, she's not a bad debater. You know how she handed Joe Biden his ass in that debate. That was as embarrassing as it could have been for Biden. But then again, Joe does a lot of things well. What they are, I don't know. People are telling me, no. You just, you know, Biden, you know, don't underestimate. No, I'm not going to underestimate him. You make all those jokes. Well, no, I'm just waiting for him, whatever it is he does. I'm waiting for him to do it, man. Well, you just see. I mean, God forbid. But if he ever became president, okay, well, you know. I mean, I'm hoping, but whatever he does well, it'd be nice to see it. Oh, come on. You know that he was great on the Senate floor. I don't know a damn thing about the guy other than the fact that he's got a brand new set of teeth. And he could use an eye job. But other than that. So Palin was scrawling notes on her hand. Now, Obama's taken a lot of heat for reading from a teleprompter. You've heard about this. And I guess most people don't know what a teleprompter is, or they never heard of one before the Obama administration. Teleprompters have been used by every single president, I think, since Kennedy. Now, when you say that, the people who know that what I'm saying is true will say this. Yeah, but not for everything. Well, wait a minute. What do you mean everything? Obama doesn't use a teleprompter for a press conference. How could he use a teleprompter for a press conference? It's an impromptu give and take. Can't do that. Well, he didn't use a teleprompter for that give and take with the Republicans. Look, let's be fair, all right? You know, I'm not the biggest fan necessarily of the progressive liberal agenda, but I take people. I take one at a time. I'm a people person. You know what I mean? I'm not a political party kind of a guy. I don't care. They can all die. They can all rot. They can all, as far as I'm concerned, die with their mouths full of you know what.
What?
I don't know. Pepsi throwback.
All right.
So, but you cannot deny the following thing for these lightweights, because they have no real political point of view or argument. They'll say, oh, Obama, he's on a teleprompter. Well, the day that he handed the Republicans their asses at that breakfast, he wouldn't have no teleprompter then, baby. He can't think on his feet, huh? He had every heavy hitter from the House of Representatives, the Republican side, including Boehner and the rest of those pull up the rear end guys, and he handed them all their ass. And like I said, without breaking a sweat, this guy didn't even, he didn't even have to unbutton his jacket. So that teleprompter thing, horse dung. However, somebody's, oh God, these progressives, man. They got to strike back, so they go after Palin. Well, look at, she writes stuff on her hand. I mean, are we really talking about this stuff, folks? Yes, we are. Why? Because even though we say we want bipartisanship, no, we don't. Why? Because things haven't gotten bad enough yet. Things aren't bad enough for us to really want to straighten the country out. Things are still, it's still pretty cool. Sure, you're out of work, and I'm sorry that you are out of work, but the majority of Americans are employed, and so they're going to just keep on playing thumb it because things are cool. It's America. We'll get out of this. Well, maybe. The only way that we're ever going to get away from the so-called, this game playing and really get the bipartisanship, things are going to get a lot worse than they are right now, and they're just not bad enough. Don't tell me things are bad. If things are really bad, we'd get up off our dead asses and do something about stuff that we say we care about. Now, you can give me the Tea Party people, but ladies and gentlemen, you know, forgive me, have I got something to say about that? And Tom Tancredo and that whole, take a test, a literacy test to vote thing. That's not racism. That's what Butch said on MSNBC. That's why she's so stupid. Well, she's not. We all know that, Rachel, you're very, very smart. But if you took 5 seconds to analyze an issue, you wouldn't sound like a jackball. Wait till I get on that one. But here it is, Sarah Palin on MSNBC with Savannah Guthrie and Chuck Todd, whoever. Andrea Mitchell ridicules Palin for the notes on her hand. In this clip, Andrea wrote some notes on her own hand to poke fun at Palin.
I think one of the most interesting things, though, was, you know, that what Gawker caught in the AP photo, and we went back to our videos, and we found her looking at her hand, and then on her hand, very clearly was written, you know, some cheat sheets. Oh, and okay. So what I
Andrea.
Having done Chuck and Mika,
did you do that? I see that. Yeah, shut up. So she had something on her hand.
Did she wipe it?
Yeah, she wiped it off. And now, at her Q&A at the Tea Party convention, Sarah Palin describes what her role will be during the upcoming primaries while she had something she needed to wipe off on her hand.
Are you going to be endorsing specific candidates?
I will be...
By the way, this guy's nose, it's plugged up.
Are you going to be endorsing specific candidates?
I will be attending as many events for these candidates as possible. I'll probably tick off some people as I get involved even in a few of the primaries. But I do want to encourage these contested competitive primaries. Truly, this is how we're going to find the cream of the crop to rise, to be able to face a challenger in the general. Let's not be afraid of contested primaries. I'm going to assist in some of those. But I'll get out there and campaign and... if not in all the races, campaigning for specific candidates, I'm going to be campaigning for the message, this common sense conservative message.
What is that? What is that, Governor? Seriously. And I ask you that as much as I would ask President Obama. What is the maybe he's not the right guy to ask. What's the common sense progressive message? Is there anybody in the Democratic can tell me that? No, 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 no. In an interview on Fox News Sunday with Chris Wallace, Palin takes on President Obama's handling of the terrorist suspects.
He is treating the trials of these terrorists and kind of as, gosh, they're on a crime spree right now. No, we are in war. These are acts of war that these terrorists are committing. We need to treat them a little bit differently than an American who is worthy, an American being worthy of our U.S. constitutional rights. I don't think the terrorists are worthy of our rights that people like my son fight and are willing to die for.
When this kid was arrested in Detroit, he was handed over to the FBI. They Mirandized him. Now, I understand that it's probably true the president didn't send down to the FBI some kind of a protocol or a working memorandum having to do with if you got a guy who was trying to blow his own underwear up, if you suspect anybody of terrorism, don't Mirandize anybody until we, you know, milk all we can out of the guy. Maybe. I have to tell you, though, that did not exist during President Bush's administration. That kind of micromanaging of U.S. civil police authority. Someone arrested, you have the right to... Whoa, don't tell him that, man, because if he remains... You just Mirandized him, now we can't get anything out of him. Well, I mean, I arrested the guy on an airplane. Well, you idiot. Now everything is... This cat was arrested on an airplane. Yeah. So that's what I did. Well, pretend like he's in Afghanistan. Sure. Palin thinks Obama may be a one-term president for ignoring the will of the people, even though he was, voted in by the will of the people. But
he's not going to win if he continues on the path that he has America on today. That's what a lot of Americans are telling him today, and he's not listening. Instead, he's telling everybody else, listen up. And I'll tell you the way it is. We want him and we want Congress to listen to what the things are that we are saying. And that's what the Tea Party movement is about, too. It's not a well-oiled, beautiful machine. It is the people saying, please hear us.
No, you're wrong. It's not the people. It's some of the people. It's some of the people. And that's the problem. See, that's the problem. Well, if the president would simply do what we want him to do, well, are you Republicans? Yes, we are. Well, he's not a Republican. He's not going to do what you're going to do. Well, he should be. If that's what they call being bipartisan, those guys need rehab. Seriously, there's an alcohol abuse problem there. Tom Tangredo and others said, and I think it might even be inspired by the Tea Party, that we need literacy tests or some kind of prerequisite test for voting. And we'll tell you why that guy who said that, whether it's Tangredo or anybody else, is not a racist. He's worse. He's an idiot. He's stupid, folks. This is the problem that we've got, whether it's the Tea Party or the far left. They're stupid. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. So we have that coming up and more. Charges of racism with parked cars somewhere in, wherever it is. I think that's in New York, as a matter of fact. And a congressman wants a Haiti relief official demoted. Phil Henry Show.
Phil.
Phil, world famous Phil Henry Show. I got Larry Grover hanging on the line here with us. John Murtha has passed away. John Murtha, the Democratic congressman from Pennsylvania, he has died at the age of 77. And we talked about him a lot in this show. And Congressman Murtha was not only a combat veteran of Vietnam, he was an advocate of veterans' rights and became in later years enmeshed in the controversy over the Iraq and Afghanistan wars. Had a few tiffs, shall we say, with ethics, and had a very interesting final race in his district. John Murtha is dead at 77.
Jack Murtha was among the most influential congressmen of the modern age. He was first elected to his Western Pennsylvania district to represent it in Congress back in February of 1974. And at that time, Shep, he became the very first Vietnam War combat veteran to serve in the United States Congress. Over the next 3.5 decades, Murtha emerged as one of the best friends of fighting men and women and the weapons system. systems they use ever to serve in Congress. As chairman of the House Defense Appropriations Subcommittee, Murtha was able to steer billions to the Pentagon and its preferred projects. However, he did have some controversy attached to his career. He was named an unindicted co-conspirator back during the Abscam scandal of the late 70s and early 1980s. There was criticism about some of his own campaign funding, but by and large, Jack Murtha served with honor both in the United States military and in the halls of Congress.
That was James Rosen reporting from Fox News on the career there of John Murtha. He died on Monday, today. The Pennsylvania Democrat had been suffering from complications from gallbladder surgery. He died at Virginia Hospital Center in Arlington. On the line with us is Larry Grover from Conservatives of Kern County. Larry, your comments.
Well, I have to tell you that I am a very honest man. I'm a very blunt man. I'm a conservative. Jack Murtha was a Democrat, in many instances a very liberal Democrat. You played some audio there where he was having his praises sung, but let's remember this bit of audio when he was running for Congress, the United States, and the fact that he was running against what he called a carpetbagger. Let's roll it, Bud. Bud Dickman, is it?
Yeah, Bud, go ahead, roll it. Where is it?
I don't have any audio.
We don't have any audio.
Well, I will tell you that the young man is a liar that's working for you.
Oh, I'm sorry. Here it is. I got it right here.
Carpetbagger from Virginia is going to represent a heavily Democratic district. No way.
We have it.
No goddamn way.
The polls show the race tightening a bit.
It is tightening, and that's why I'm fired up.
All right, well,
that's the audio. That shows a very fiery John Murtha.
Yes, a very fiery John Murtha. I wish we'd cued it. But the point is, you see, I tell the truth, and the young man that works for you is a liar. A bald-faced liar.
Let's get off of whether or not...
I didn't lie. I didn't know it was there.
You're a liar.
Let's get off of whether he's a liar or not and tell me your essential feeling.
My essential feeling is this. I can only summarize... I will summarize it the best way I know how. I was out for a social occasion with a young lady that I had met where I worked. Her name is, well, it's not important what her name is, but she's a conservative like me. And she was an aspiring member of Conservatives of Kern County, and we had a lot in common. And I asked her out for dinner and a drink, and possibly some dancing later on, and she said yes. So we went out to a steakhouse over here at Topanga Canyon. And I don't know if you've been there, Phil, the Morton one.
Great. Did you like it?
I've been to better.
That's really good of you, man, to mention a steakhouse on the air and then say, I've been to Morton's, the one in Topanga Canyon. It's fantastic.
Yeah, okay. In any event...
it's fantastic. Next.
All right. So we were having dinner and over our fantastic steaks. And
let's forget about the steaks. You're having dinner.
I'm having dinner with her. And she looked at me and she said, did you hear that John Murtha is very ill? And I said, yes, I looked up and I remember I was having some kind of a soup or stew just prior to my steak. And I looked up and I remember dabbing at my chin and I said, yes, and I'm very happy about that he's critically ill. And she looked down and I said, you know, her name's Kathy. I said, Kathy, I'm a conservative, so are you, and I'm very honest. You asked me, and you said, John Murtha is very sick, and I said, yes, he is, and I'm very happy about that. And you looked at, she said, well, are you, I said, I can only tell, I said, you're a conservative. Are you not happy? She said, I wish you'd say something a little bit less harsh.
And so, see, this young lady who's a conservative like you was still in all was not willing to say something about John Murtha, who was ill, like, I'm glad he's ill.
Let me tell you something, Phil. I didn't go, I'm glad he's ill. I didn't do that.
Well, I didn't say it like that.
Yes, you did. You can play it back. That's how you said it. You went, I'm glad he's ill. I didn't say that. I said, I'm very happy to hear that he's sick and could die. And she... And
what a thing to say.
I'm not a hypocrite, and I'm not a liar. And I said, look, and she said, could you think of something kinder? And I said, yes. I said, all right. I'm glad that he, you know, that he had the chance to live. It was born, although it would have been better had his mother aborted him. But I did say, I'm pro-life. And
but you did say I'm pro-life. So how did your evening end?
Let me tell you something, Phil. I'm honest, okay? I don't lie. I said I'm glad that he had a chance at life. But seeing the results, I wish his mother believed in abortion. But I'm a pro-life guy, so I would never want that to happen. So I'm totally honest. And she had me take her home. And
well, that's not a surprise.
Yeah, oh, okay, Hugh Hefner.
And well, come on, man. She had you take her home, of course.
Well, I will tell you this. I'm a conservative. I go out with a woman who's a conservative. I'm honest about my conservative principles. And at the end of the night, and I would put it at about, 9:15 to 9:30, I'm standing there with smoke coming out of my... Anyway, the point here is you can't be a conservative and be honest, and I'm going to say it, and get laid all at the same time. Because
all right, thanks a lot. 877-876-PHIL. One-fifth of adults would rather be with their pets than their partner on Valentine's. You hear that one, Larry?
No, I didn't, and I don't
Phil
care.
Henry.
I'd rather be with mother.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, where truth is our bitch, and tonight we start with three stories in this quarter hour. We have Scott Lee Cohen, that's his name. He left the Democratic lieutenant governor race in Illinois, and he did it crying like a little bitch.
I will resign.
I'm kidding. That was unfair. Well, he was crying.
I will resign. It's my hope.
Not very manly, but
and
I
pray with all my heart.
I understand
that I didn't hurt the people.
Poor guy.
I love so much.
You know, you're tempted to make fun of him, but I felt for that. He's probably a very sensitive guy. And what happened was, and oh yeah, sure, Phil. I don't know. You better get into politics, and maybe it was an act. We are so cynical. We want to believe that anybody that shows real, honest human emotion, they got to be faking it, right? And we want to go into the whole Marlon Brando thing from Godfather. You can act like a man, you know, and smack the guy in the face and ask him if he spends time with his family. And he'll say yes. And he'll say good, because a man who doesn't spend time with his family is not a man.
You can act like a man.
Hey, man, hit me.
Wait a minute.
You hit me.
Don't hit him, man.
I'm just doing a Godfather.
You don't hit him across the face.
Gotta ask permission, man. Damn.
You're lucky you're still standing, bud.
I know, but I was just remembering the scene.
And so you smack him?
You act like a man.
Hit me, you little...
Ow.
Get both you guys, get out of here.
You did it, man.
Ow.
Oh, God.
You act like a man.
I'm going to... You know what? I ain't going to smack. I'm going to belt you with the ring out, man. See that? Boom. There'll be an impression there.
Act like a man.
Scott Cohen... So this guy, he got apparently denounced, and they outed him. It didn't out him. They said that he'd abused his ex-wife. He held a knife to the throat of an ex-girlfriend. He was accused of this, a woman who was herself charged with prostitution. I don't know whether the guy really did these things, although it kind of follows, doesn't it, that some guy that would hold a knife to a woman's throat would suddenly sound something like this.
I
will resign. Yeah.
It's my hope.
For the good of the people of the state of Illinois and the Democratic Party, I will resign, Cohen said, and then rolled down his sleeve and slashed his own wrist in front of a horrified... No, he didn't. Cohen said in a rambling statement... Well, they said it was rambling. It was made at the Super Bowl halftime... As Super Bowl halftime entertainment blared in the background. Maybe he was drunk. That's possible. The revelations about Cohen's past came as Illinois was starting to move on from the scandals of ousted Governor Rod Blagojevich. Democratic Governor Pat Quinn, who inherited the job after Blagojevich's ouster following federal corruption charges, would have been paired with Cohen on the November ticket. Quinn said Cohen made the right decision. Now we can continue to focus our efforts on putting the state blah, 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 blah. Surrounded by his sons, his fiancée, and her son, Cohen apologized to his family, his supporters, and anybody who, any place. Cohen, a pawnbroker and the owner of a cleaning products distribution company, ran against several veteran politicians, spending $2 million, mostly his own money, on his campaign, more than twice as much as all his opponents combined. He gained strong name recognition with a flurry of advertising featuring people who said they got jobs at employment fairs he held. The location and timing for Sunday's announcement, a heated beer garden at a Chicago bar during the Super Bowl, perplexed some patrons who were trying to watch the game and not listen to this guy snivel and whine into the night. "It's a way to grab some headlines, I guess," said 53-year-old Rick Kokonis, wearing a New Orleans T-shirt. Okay, so that's what happened there as that cat went down for the count. In other news, long-awaited Tebow ad stirs airs on Super Bowl with soft sell, anti-abortion message, and light tone. Now, this is what we meant when we started the show about, you know, when we say that one of the big news stories that they miss, it, how was a story misreported? Well, the Tim Tebow anti-abortion commercial, nobody even saw, I don't think. I mean, I saw it. It kind of came and went, man. And no one talked about it. Nobody was offended by it. I don't even think most people noticed it. It looked very friendly. The sound was turned down. You're getting a sandwich. You don't know. It doesn't grab your attention. You think it's a commercial for laundry detergent. I didn't know what it was. I knew that it was going to be airing. I knew that it was going to be controversial. I know what Tim Tebow looks like. I wasn't quite sure what his mother looked like. But I was there watching the game, and I thought it was going to be an ad for, like, Progressive Insurance or something. I thought the Geico Gecko was going to jump up. I didn't know what was going to happen. And then it was over. Did it make news? No, it did not. But that doesn't keep some people from getting upset that it aired. And that would be the National Organization of Women, who said, quote, "I am blown away at the celebration of the violence against women in it. All you're doing now is inviting people to watch it again because they didn't watch it the first time. Here it is." Well, I mean, here it is.
"I call in my miracle baby. He almost didn't make it into this world. I can remember so many times when I almost lost him. It was so hard. Well, he's all grown up now, and I still worry about his health. You know, with all our family's been through, we have to be tough. Timmy, we're trying to tell our story here."
Sorry about that, Mom. "You still worry about me, Mom?"
"Well, yeah. You're not nearly as tough as I am."
Violence against women? I don't know. So that was the commercial. Nobody paid any attention to it. And the National Organization of Women, and I'm a pro-choice kind of a guy. Yeah, I wouldn't tell a woman what to do. I'd never tell a woman what to do. If she wants to go and get an abortion, that's fine with me, and it doesn't upset me, and it doesn't bother me, and it doesn't cause me long nights of sleeplessness, and it doesn't make me want to get myself right with Jesus. That's what she wants to do, that's what she wants to do, and that's what she's going to do. You know, I'm reading a book, well, I better not say, but I am reading a book, and yes, it has something to do with the 19th century, and oh, man, if you want to read up on infanticide, if you think that women are carving up the unborn these days, if you think that things are bad here in the 21st and 20th century, you don't know what, you got no idea what killing kids is about. They were carving and killing and murdering children by the bushel in the 19th century. They were throwing them down wells. They were smothering them. They were cutting their throats and throwing them into privies. Why? Because women were controlling their own fertility and they didn't know what else to do. Oh, no, people must have been sicker then. Oh, were they sicker then? I guess that kind of puts to a lie that whole good old days thing, huh, doesn't it? Well, but I mean, what I meant, I mean, these people today, man, you know, our very good close personal friend Randall Terry, he's a nice guy, but I tell you, even if I went out and had a beer with you, Randall, I'd keep my, you know, sort of my back away from you. Anyway, Randall, you'd swear to God, oh, a Holocaust and a Holocaust and a Holocaust. You guys don't know what a Holocaust is. They were killing living children, live, living babies, killing them. Back in the day, man, 100 years ago, 200 years ago, 300 years ago. What we represent today is a progression away from that. You think things are bad today? Get a clue, will you? For God's sake, read something other than, I don't know, the Tax Party Talking Points or the Daily Kos. Something with a little bit of depth or substance. Something that's got a little, some footnotes, some bibliography, some research. and find out about how far the human race has come. Infanticide, killing children, Holocaust. I'm telling you, if you really makes you upset, the numbers of unborn children that, quote unquote, are being murdered, you'll vomit until you never stop vomiting if you read what was done to control fertility 100, 200 years ago. You'll never stop throwing up. A family of five children thrown down a well, thrown down a deep abandoned mine shafts, murdered in their bed. And did this bespeak some insanity? This was the panicked and the out-of-control thinking and desperation of women who just couldn't have any more kids. And the people that don't get it don't want to get it. Because if you thought on it a little bit, you'd understand that this has been the instinct of women for thousands, if not tens of thousands of years. So what do you do? Do you want to change human nature and the way that we have traditionally? Well, just because people did things one way, Mr. Henry, doesn't mean we have to keep on doing it. You're absolutely right. Unfortunately, you don't have any solution. All you say is, have the baby, we'll put it up for adoption. Nothing changes. You're not offering anything that's going to change the actual social dynamic or the economics. You're not even saying anything that's going to change the state of marriage or the way that women are treated. So don't tell me, you know, we've come a long way. We're going to save these babies' lives. We're going to put them up for adoption and abortion. You haven't changed a damn thing about human behavior, about the respect for human life. You're not respecting human life. You're like those, as long as you want to talk Christian talk, man, you're like the Pharisees themselves. You are like the Pharisees themselves. You are like the whited sepulcher that, what's his name?
Jesus?
Yeah, talked about. You stand there with your righteous, self-righteous bullcrap, and you're preaching to the world, and you're the biggest pack of phonies I've ever seen in my life. In my life. Now, the Tim Tebow ad, it's a great ad. It's a beautiful thing. There's nothing wrong with that. If a woman wants to have a baby, she can have a baby. Okay? And now, you people, you're not doing anybody any favors, all right? But that's what I'm saying. You got to give her a choice. She's the only person who makes up this decision is a woman. Does that mean I'm some kind of a PW guy? No, I'm telling you right now. I mean, I consider myself a man, but there's one thing I ain't going to do. I'm not going to tell a woman what to do. It's inside of her own body, what she's supposed to do with it. It isn't going to happen. Not in a million years. Not this guy. Now, if you think you're some kind of butch dude and you're going to tell your old lady how it's going to be and when it am going to be at and when she's going to have the baby, and I got a right too. These guys, let me tell you something, these guys that talk that crap and then they don't support those children or these deadbeats or these creeps that take off before the baby's even born, I tell you what I'll do. I'll make a deal with you. We'll go ahead and we'll outlaw abortion. And any guy that runs off or doesn't pay child support, death penalty. How do you like that? No, serious. I'm dead serious. We'll outlaw abortion. She's got to have the kid. And any man who is found to be delinquent in child support or who simply takes off, he's brought back and he is guillotined in the public square to the cheers of thousands. I'd love it. I'd be the first guy up front, man, with a bag of popcorn. I'd love it. Otherwise, shut up. With all this crap about, you know, ain't I got a say in it? It's her freaking body. She's going to do what she wants, whatever you like, man. You want to stay on the good side of the feminine world? You want to stay on the good side of the wonderful world of women? Just shut the hell up when it comes to what it is they're going to do with their own bodies, right? And if you want her to have the kid and you're going to have the kid, then step up to the plate and support the kid and shut up about everything else, about all this other crap. And these guys that take off, or these guys, this bum, this sap, did you read about him?
Yeah, that guy, he got arrested and everything down there. What'd he do?
This guy's the bum of the world, this Warren Sapp. He's got five different wives and 18 different clusters of kids, and now he's got a, you know, some domestic aside. He's a bum. All right? You know, that's all I got to say about that, man. I just...
That's pretty good, Mr. Henry.
I'm going to smack you, man. 877-876-PHIL. Still to come tonight, guest Chris Norton is going to do... Well, he's going to tell us a little bit about the idea of a woman being president. What do you think of that? And do you live in the most romantic city in America? There's been a poll done. You'll be shocked. You'll be stunned to know which is the most romantic city in America. I'll give you a hint. It's a city, the residents of which, some of which think, is the biggest toilet bowl they've ever lived in. Honest to God. We'll tell you in a moment. The world famous Phil Henry Show.
world famous Bill Hendry Show. It's the Bill Hendry Show.
Now I'm going to tell you, and please forgive me, but I have to report it as I hear it. Valentine's Day, just around the corner, Amazon.com. By the way, there are some women who have a great amount of sympathy for men. There are some who say, you know what, Valentine's Day, you can take that and park it, man. And we understand the pressure that men are under, blah, blah, blah. And there are other women who say, hey, tough for them, you know, one day out of the year. So I get it. Anyway, with Valentine's Day just around the corner, Amazon.com today announced its list of the top 20 most romantic cities in America. Amazon.com announced its list of the 20 most romantic cities in America. After compiling sales data of romance novels, sex and relationship books, romantic comedy DVDs, Barry White CDs, and sexual wellness products, since January the 1st, on a per capita basis, here's what Amazon.com came up with cities over 100,000 residents, the top 20 most romantic cities in the U.S. are number one, Alexandria, Virginia. No offense. But even people that live in Alexandria, Virginia are laughing right now. So let's bust this down. Barry White CDs? How do I put this delicately? All right, there's a large African-American population there. And maybe, just maybe, they're baby boomers. I don't know. I think, though. Romance novels. In other words, books that don't take a whole lot for brain power. Okay, I've also heard it said there's a whole lot of dumb people there. You know, I'm just telling you. Or maybe it's not true and someone's misspeaking about Alexandria and they had to have their mouths washed out with soap. Sexual wellness products. Now, what are those?
Probably something along the lines of, like, penicillin.
Penicillin.
No, man. Viagra.
Well, either way, it ain't all that good. Alexandria, there's a lot of penicillin and Viagra sold there. Well, that's a romantic town. And then we have, what else? Romantic comedy DVDs. Well, what does that mean? You know, forget Paris? Because I'd rather. So I think that what this is not just a list of the most romantic. I don't think it's the most romantic. I think it's the city that is probably has a high sexual activity rating combined with a low education. There's something not quite, it's not romantic, it's like a smelly locker room or something with a little splash of perfume. Alexandria, Virginia.
So you say Alexandria, Virginia smells like a locker room with a perfume?
Yes.
In other words, like a toilet that has just had the tidy bowl man in it?
Yes, okay.
In other words, like,
all right, you guys get it. Number two, Miami, Florida. Maybe. South Beach, maybe. The sunset or the sunrise or however the hell you want to put it. Okay. Cambridge, Massachusetts. I can't comment. It's probably very gorgeous there. Ann Arbor, Michigan. Berkeley, California. Romantic? Gainesville, Florida. Arlington, Virginia. Look at that. Two cities in the D.C. area in the top 10 as the most romantic cities. Salt Lake City. Now, again, when you think of romance, don't think of it the way you're thinking of it right now. Think of it in the terms of Barry White CDs, sexual wellness products, and I think we said penicillin and Viagra. That's what we're thinking, because I can't think of what else is there.
What about like a lady product?
Yeah, what's a lady product?
What do you mean a lady product? I don't know, but I'm just... and then there are romance novels. See, that ain't too... That's not a very high recommendation. Romance novels, that's... It's like a comic book, you know, only without the pictures. So, Pittsburgh, PA, Orlando, Florida. I lived in Orlando 6 years. Romantic? Nuh-uh. Nice town? Sure. Certain times of the day. Other times of the day, when the septic tanks are being drained. No, I'm kidding around Orlando. Why am I kidding around? No, I am kidding. Washington, D.C. is number... Now, Washington, I might be able to see because of the beautiful, the whole thing, you know, like the capital and this and that, and if you're in this, you know... But Arlington, and then Bellevue, Washington, Seattle, Washington, Richmond, Virginia, which is where the Union set fire to the city or something.
Well, that's why, because it's brand new.
Yeah. because it's brand new. Anyway, Cincinnati, Ohio, Knoxville, Tennessee, Columbia, Missouri, and Philadelphia, Mississippi. Those, I'm kidding about that.
Are you kidding me, man?
I'm kidding, but they might as well put that in there. Here are the most romantic cities in America. Number one, Death Valley. Number two, Philadelphia, Mississippi. Number three, Selma, Alabama. You know, we could just come up with, like, the murder capitals of Detroit, Michigan makes it to number one. Columbus, South Carolina, and Atlanta, Georgia, number 20. Atlanta's got great restaurants. I can figure that one. I bet you Columbia's got a few nice places. I don't know. I'm sitting here. I'm trying to figure out, gee, I wonder what makes this place great. Well, but for Alexandria, Virginia, to be at the very tippy top of that list after the things that I've heard, the things that I've seen, the places that I've been, and the people I've talked to.
Burn in hell.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. Now, one more story before we take a break, then we'll have Chris Norton next hour. LifeScience.com is a very well, it's a science site, so there isn't, I was going to say there isn't a political agenda. It's not, there's no ulterior motive there, but ever since the global climate change debate began, I can't even say that anymore about science, can I? Science is polluted with politics. Thanks very much. But nonetheless, LifeScience.com is to be considered, I think, a science site. And they have done research, and they say the following. Children raised by lesbians fare as well as they would in heterosexual households, new research suggests. Again, this is not necessarily a group of scientists who are, boy, let's really push that gay thing. The finding comes from a review of essentially all studies on the topic. But that's just lesbians.
What about guys?
If you're raised by two homosexual men, you're in big trouble. Why, you're going to...
burn in hell.
All right, coming up, Chris Norton. Will a woman ever be president of the U.S.? 877-876-PHIL.
Phil Hendry.